Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two, Felger and Mast on a reentry Monday, presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Felger and Mast is presented by DraftKings. I come to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Mast and Murray on remote. Bill Belichick has done a conference call today, so we will be hearing from Bill Belichick coming up. But we did want to rifle through these calls while you've been waiting patiently. Matt in Lexington, go ahead quickly, please.
Hello. Hey, what's up? Really wanted to take, I really was confused why you wanted to protect the fatties. Like, honestly, last segment, you were just like, the fatties need to be saved. When I was in high school, we didn't want fatties on our team.
Okay,
we
Matt, I'm going to let you go. Here's Kevin in Newton. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. It's funny. I like you, Felger, started reading too much after listening to the Gasper and Murray podcast over the weekend. On a side note, Murray, you just got to talk about Gasper's F-bomb. That blew me away. I laughed so hard I couldn't believe it. But he mentioned a documentary on the 1918 Spanish flu and got me, Googling away and reading and watching. And I watched a documentary last night. I think it was PBS, short thing. But the pictures and what happened then, it's just eerie how similar it is to what's happening now with the masks and the social distancing, and it was just horrific. But at the end of the day, talking about the herd immunity, it did eventually just sort of die off after a couple months, and they were in the fall, not the spring. But anyway, it's worth looking into.
Well, sure. I mean, can we learn from that? I hear a lot of these allusions, Maz, in comparisons to 1918 and the second wave of the Spanish flu in 1918 was what really killed people and really got people. We got to watch out for it because that's what happened in 1918, 102 years ago. Can please someone tell me that we've advanced from 102 years ago where we can prevent that from happening, where that whiplash, the second wave, is not going to be as bad because of like 14 million things that we've advanced from 1918? Can someone please tell me that, Mass?
Well, of course we have. I mean, again, so it isn't a total apples to apples comparison. And again, I'm hardly any sort of medical expert. I'm not telling you that I am. But I just think that this thing, it blindsided everybody, at least in this country, and maybe in some places like Korea, it didn't. But I think now that the problem, when I say the problem, we all have family members that are older and vulnerable, or we all have family members with underlying health issues. And so who's going to stand there and say, let's all get back to normal and a certain amount of the people in the population will be sacrificed? Nobody wants that way.
And I'm not doing that.
And I know you're not. I know you're not.
We're not going back to normal. I'm just trying to find a path to get out of the house and get business going again. That's what I'm doing. It ain't going back to normal for a long time, and we're going to keep protecting the people that need protecting. I'm not sacrificing anybody. So that there's got to be a way, and there is a way, to get out of the house and back to work and get the gears grinding again without sacrificing people. Without knowingly, intentionally sacrificing. That's not what we're doing here. Mike in North Attleboro. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. Great show. I agree with you that we have to get back to work, but I think before we open up the government and everything, we should take a look at retail workers who have been working for the past few months. Why don't they collect data to see what happens when you keep working?
Okay, good idea. Collect all the data. Figure it out. Collect all the data. Do what's safe. Protect those who aren't safe. Do things that are dangerous or contributed to the situation, and keep grinding it. Yep, Do all of that. Study everything you possibly can. Pete in Delaware. Go, Pete.
Hey, guys. So I just fully, like Mike, I know we have to get back to whatever the new normal is. It's going to be a roller coaster ride. It's going to go up and down because China's already getting new cases. They're going to have to shut certain areas down, and we're probably going to have to do the same thing. My biggest concern is we talk about mass testing, and I believe in it because I don't know what else to believe in right now, but who's paying for it? And that's really – states have to have budgets that they have to – you know, they're required by law to meet budgets. It's not inexpensive. So the biggest thing for me is who's going to pay for the mass testing?
Okay, we are. They're going to crank our taxes up, or they're going to borrow, or they're going to do everything that they're doing. And I would throw every dime at it because what's it costing you on the other side? So how, as expensive as the tests are, it can't be more expensive than what we're doing to the economy right now. It just can't be. So whatever it is, it's worth it. And those new cases I'm curious about too, Maz. I'm curious about the new cases in China. They say they're from people from traveling elsewhere. They're also curious about, again, and this is a big thing, the accuracy of the tests. Are they false positives?
Correct.
Were they false negatives before? Like, that's a big thing. They don't know. I'm also curious. If they got sick again, how sick are they? Is it less sick than before? Because this happens all the time to all of us. You catch a cold, you get over it, and then like a couple days later, you sort of get a little lingering thing that comes back because maybe, like I used to get sinus infections where I feel like it just sort of bounced from ear to ear a little bit, and you would like get sick again, and then you'd get over it, and like, is that what it is? Or is it more severe the next time? And let's dig into that and find all that out. But I'm curious about what those new cases mean and, you know, the details of it.
So one of the things that I have been frustrated by in this whole thing is the accuracy or availability of information. And so, and when I say that, I mean, I just thought we would know a little bit more by now. And from our standpoint, it's been, what, a month? Okay, but I thought we would know a little bit more now than we did at the beginning in terms of definitively, you know, how long can it live on certain services? How long, you know, relative to one another, one or the other? Can you, you know, I thought we might know already,
Maz,
whether if you got it once, can you get it a second time? Are you as contagious a second time? Like, it just feels to me like the pace of development, Mike, or advancement is slower than I thought it was going to be.
You're right. That's not blaming anyone. It's just a tricky little virus. I know, you know, we've got a lot of brilliant people devoting a lot of time to it. But the thing you just said, how long can it survive on certain services? The guidelines now are from, it can survive from a few hours to a couple of days.
Right.
It's like, well, what is that? That does me no good. What does that mean? That means nothing. It means, and again, I'm not yelling at anyone. I'm just sort of, I guess.
Venting. Yeah,
you know,
venting.
Venting the frustration you feel, which is, you know, to say it could last from a couple hours to a couple of days does no one any good. Basically, you have to treat every surface as toxic. You know, I mean, that's basically what it's saying to you.
Exactly, right. So, you know, it's just hard to devise any sort of functional plan if you don't know even the most basic things. And I guess, you know, maybe this is what a lot of the people in the medical community were trying to tell us from the beginning, and that we know nothing about this. We know nothing. We just know that people are getting it and people are dying and we have to treat them and they're coming in waves and we can't handle it. And you know, part of me wonders if they always minimize the level of information they're giving you because they don't want to start what is, for lack of a better word, a panic.
But I wonder if we've not handled it, but to a degree are we on the way to doing what we set out to do, which is flattening the curve? Because the numbers are coming down in some places. The curve is being flattened in some places. The projections are, you know, they were saying just over a week ago, Maz, between 100 and 200,000 deaths, 240 at one point was the number. And then going into the weekend, that number was down to like 60, 70. And not that that's great or, you know, but so have we, you know, this path that we've taken, has it started to do what we set out to do? And, you know, that's one thing to feel good about. But the backside of that is all we've done is shut ourselves inside. That's not curing anything, and that's not solving anything. That's just locking the doors. And we can't do that for 18 months to wait for the vaccine. David in New Jersey. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks a lot. I think the big key is what Maz has been talking about, which is testing. Because once you have testing and people know where they stand, they can then sort of make their own decisions of whether they want to go outside. And I think the models you're talking about are 60,000 based on our doing social distancing.
Right.
So if you said, let's go all out, it is 200,000 or 300,000. But again, I think it's all what Matt said. It's about testing, because then you can make sort of your own decision saying, oh, I've had it, I can go back out, or my parents haven't had it, they should stay inside. So once you have that, then you can sort of open things up, because then people can make sort of their own decisions and the government can make decisions of who's allowed to go out and who's not.
Huge variable. Huge variable. And if another part of it is tracking you on your cell phone, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that?
I am.
Totally.
I mean, I totally am. Again, I, you know, don't get me wrong. I got my vices and my quirks and things like everybody else, but I don't think I'm doing anything that's going to land me in jail.
No.
But what if
we're going to find when we confiscate Maz's phone, all we're going to find is him buying all these gadgets and porn. That's it.
What if you talk crap about the president to your wife, and then the next thing you know, you're getting an IRS
audit?
I'm
not worried about it.
You're crazy. You're crazy.
I'm not going to waste my time with that, Murray. I'm not. I'm not going to go deep state conspiracy, because then I can't. Then, you know what? You just, at some point, unlike some of you out there, I trust my government, whether it's the guy I voted for or not. I do. If I don't trust my government, then what's the point? Then what's the point of doing anything? I moved to Jamaica. But unlike the vast majority of people, even when my guy's not in the White House, I still trust the government. Not that I think, you know, Trump's a particularly effective president or any, but I still trust generally the motives of my government. I do. I trust my government.
But Murray, if they start chasing those of us that badmouth the president to our spouses, forget the hospitals. The jails aren't going to be big enough, not remotely big enough.
But so I mean, you start doing that, like, oh yeah, I said to Jazz that Trump's an a-hole and now I'm being audited. Like, you're really going to, you're like that's how you're going to think?
Yeah, I mean, because that's what they're trying to set up in China. They're well on their way to doing that.
Well, that's China. That is a known repressive communist regime. That's different than here. I don't think we live in China. I don't think we live in communist Russia. I don't. And sorry, maybe that makes me a rube, but I do. I trust my government. John in Sudbury, tell me about the bats.
Hey, guys, how you doing today? I want to talk about the bat thing like you said, Michael. I love bats. I've read about them. I've researched them. I even have a bat box in my backyard. Now, we've all been to zoos with our family. Have you ever noticed a bat doing what looks like scratching itself with its feet hanging when it's hanging upside down?
No.
Well, what that is, if you look at a bat for long enough, you'll see that. What that bat is doing is rubbing its own urine on itself to mask its scent. Every bat in the world does it. So anybody out there thinking about eating a bat, know you're eating a rodent with a cover in its own urine. So please, get them out of the wet markets. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. If we're narrowing down that so many of these horrible diseases are you know, the result of or can be rooted back to one specific animal, can we start being careful with that one specific animal? Like, is that so unreasonable? Like, I don't know. It feels like common sense to me.
They reek, too. The caller's right. The bats reek. Have you ever had one in your house?
Oh, God. I don't think so, Maz.
I had one in my apartment years and years ago, and it reeked. Oh, did it reek right by the front door. That thing stank like you would not believe. I couldn't get that thing out of my house fast enough.
But they bite the camel, and the camel infects people. They bite the pangolin infects. Like, can we just go easy with the bats then? I don't know. That's another one. You just call me crazy. Belichick spoke today. You think he ripped Brady? You think he's finally going to fire back at Brady? This is what
I want to hear.
I want to know if we can pick it apart and see if there's just subtle little snot rockets at Brady. That's what I want to know. We'll hear from Belichick, and we'll get to some of the latest draft stuff, draft rumors with Patriots and the quarterback position right after this.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island. The official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 $100 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Well, I think similar to most years, you know, quite a range of players and some of the systems that they play in college are different either than what we run or what traditional NFL systems would look like, and some are more closely schematically to that. So, you know, each guy has his own set of skills, he has his own circumstances, and some players have, you know, played well over a sustained period of time. Some players have had an exceptional year in the past year or two, maybe 2019, some cases 2018, and then for whatever the reasons were, the 2 years didn't quite match up. But that's, you know, I'd say about the way it always is. You know, there are always a variety of things you have to try to put together and look at, but certainly there's a lot of interesting players, guys that have really good arms, can really throw the ball, and there's some very athletic players and players that have won a lot of games and, you know, have shown their competitiveness and instinctiveness. Interesting group, probably one that has decent depth to it.
Okay, Bill Belichick today on the quarterback class coming out in the NFL draft. Belichick did his pre-draft press conference today on the conference call, so we'll play sound throughout the course of the day on that. I didn't even know that was coming today. Nice. Says, of the quarterback group, interesting group, probably one that has some decent depth to it. You want to read into that, Maz?
Well, sure, yeah. Look, he's telling you there might be someone available to them there late in the first round, or, you know, he's playing a game and he's messing with people and telling people that there might be a guy later on that has some merit just because he wants to, you know, leave himself another player, whether it be in the first round or what have you. So my big question still is whether Bill would take someone in the first round. He's never done that. Garoppolo's the quarterback that he's drafted the highest. That was at the end of the second. But I think he effectively gave you some indication that quarterback is on their radar.
Should he take a quarterback in the first round?
I say no. I don't like where they are unless there is someone that absolutely slips down to them that is completely unforeseen and unexpected. I mean, I don't like Tua, but if you guys tell me that you think Tua is a franchise guy and he slips to 23, then I suppose that he qualifies. Again, in my mind, he wouldn't. But, you know, I also think it's a bad sign for Stidham if they take a quarterback in the first round.
Okay, oh, for sure on that. Go ahead, Murray.
Yeah, I would, if Tua were to somehow drop to them, because, you know, you've had guys like Lombardi doing Belichick's bidding to try to devalue him as an asset, and he dropped to 23, then you absolutely take him. The kid was looked at as the number one pick in the draft before Burrow ended up having the season he had last year, and I like him. I know he's got the injury concerns, but if he's there, yeah, you take him.
Okay, so Patriots linked to two guys over the weekend. Two guys. The first, Jordan Love. ESPN story, several NFL teams are doing serious homework on Utah State's Jordan Love, who is one of the most polarizing quarterbacks in the draft. Texas Tech's coach Matt Wells, who recruited and coached Love at Utah State, told ESPN he has discussed Love with seven NFL head coaches who called him in the past 5 days. Later on in the story, among the teams doing varying levels of homework on Love, according to sources, the Dolphins, the Saints, the Chargers, the Packers, the Redskins, and the New England Patriots. Okay, Jordan Love, in case you're not familiar with him, and not that I was either, big, rangy, rifle arm, raw. Think Josh Allen up in Buffalo. Think Colin Kaepernick. I think he looks very much like those guys, Murray. Just a big, athletic, like, and I don't know, he feels to me like he's big. I don't have his measurables in front of me, but I feel like he's that kind of player.
Yeah, 6'4", 224, around that. I mean, depending on who's...
So that's not huge.
Yeah, your mock you're looking at. But yeah, he's like a Kaepernick type. And it's just, I don't know, like, Ever since I read that thing from Aaron Schatz that Gasper sent to me a couple of weeks ago behind the ESPN paywall, where, you know, and they've hit on guys before, Russell Wilson in the fourth round a few years back, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, whenever the hell it was. And, you know, they've been, they have all these nerd breakdowns that they do, and they just think, they basically give him like a 3% chance of actually making it as a starting quarterback in the league. And I trust the nerds on this. I just, he's got the intangibles, but like I said, raw. And so what are they going to do? They're going to take him at 23 because a lot of mocks have him in the first, early second round, and then have him behind Stidham. That just feels like that's not a plan. You're throwing something against the wall and hoping something sticks.
So one GM told Peter King on Jordan Love, quote, "Jordan Love's a polarizing player." Again, second person to use that word. "He's the most exciting quarterback in the draft. He's not Mahomes, but coached well, he could become a really good player." So I'm not into it. I want a system guy. I'm a, you know me, I'm a system quarterback kind of guy, especially when you have a good system and a good coach. I want the guy to take the coaching, throw to the open guy, check down, take the easy money, not turn the ball over. I don't need a quote-unquote playmaker. I don't. Not when I have Bill Belichick as coach. If I have some bozo as a coach, then yeah, I need my quarterback running around making plays because I know my coach ain't going to scheme anything up. But if I got the coaching to scheme something up, I don't want a project. I don't want that kind of player, Maz.
I mean, to me, I wouldn't take a guy like that at 23. I just wouldn't do it. So, again, Tua to me is a different case because you're talking, and I'm talking about, if you're saying it's a guy who's regarded as a top two or three pick, but he slips because of injury concerns, fine. That I get. A guy who's a project? No way. Not in a million years. The only other thing I wonder with Belichick is that if they do like Stidham, maybe this is another way for him to tweak Stidham by talking about the depth of the quarterback class. Yep, there's a guy out there, you know, just giving little hints to keep Stidham on his toes. Maybe that's a method to his madness, too.
Okay.
That's a dumb way to tweak, though, because you have so many holes on this team, on this roster, that, you know, you need, that would be like a waste of the first-round pick that they have.
I think Maz is just talking about just talking to him.
Correct.
With them.
Just talking about it, right.
You know, getting that headline out there, Belichick in on Love, Belichick in on Justin Herbert. You know, that gets Stidham's attention, that, you know, so maybe that's all the play is there. And on Justin Herbert, Peter King. Peter King quotes another rival GM who says, quote, "They," meaning the Patriots, "they love Justin Herbert, but enough to trade up for him?" One rival GM said, Peter King writes, "The Pats do have 12 picks, the second most in the draft for ammo, but only one of those comes in the top 85. If they want Herbert, they'd likely have to be willing to part with their 2021 first rounder in addition to a trove of picks." He writes, "After losing out on Hayden Hurst in their latest hunt for a tight end, no way the Pats could reach for versatile Notre Dame Cole." How do you pronounce that last name, Murray?
Kmet.
Yeah, Cole Kmet here to solve their tight end problem, is there? So he puts Notre Dame tight end there with the Patriots, but they love Justin Herbert. I'm going to play some sound here coming up where Peter King talks to Justin Herbert. And I think Herbert all but admits that he did a FaceTime or a one-on-one with Bill Belichick over the Zoom machine or something like that. You'll hear that later on in the day. How about Justin Herbert, Maz?
So I don't know enough about Herbert, but my feeling there is no. The only guy that I think would qualify as a potential exception there is Tua. And again, I'm a no on Tua. I just want to make that clear because I know how these things work. We've all worked in this business long enough now to know that people put words in your mouth. I'm a no on Tua, but the large majority of people believe that Tua is a top two or three pick in the draft. And so I look at that and say, if that guy slips and you want to tell me that that's a guy you'll take a gamble on, fine. Other than that, I'm not taking a quarterback at 23.
Okay.
I'm a hard no because he went to Oregon. I want nothing to do with any quarterback that goes to that school playing
right
in that offense.
The odds of the first-round quarterback in the first place, we want to get to that right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati. Making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5 to Sports Hub.
If you go through from 2002 to 2019 and you break down every quarterback picked in the first round, you know, you have a hard time finding blue chip players, as Parcells would say, that separate themselves. First of all, it's a 50-50 proposition at best. I mean, I could only come up with 15 names that were really quality players, right? 15 names that were truly, you know, the Aaron Rodgers, the Eli Mannings, the Phillip Rivers, the Roethlisberger, the Carson Palmers, the Cam Newtons that I counted in there, even Matthew Stafford. But there's so many of the Mark Sanchez, Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locklear, Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, Marcus Mariota, you know, Paxton Lynch's, you know, there's so many Vince Young, Matt Leinart, Cutler. There's so many of those guys that are bust.
So that was Mike Lombardi last week on the first round bust rate at quarterback, Maz, which led you to a thought, which was what?
Well, so look, again, and I went through the same list Lombardi did, and I think that, you know, when you look at this, it really, unless you're picking up high at, you know, one or two or three, it really doesn't make mathematically a lot of sense to take a quarterback in the first round. And this is Belichick's approach generally with talent anyway, that he looks at it and says, and I always use the analogy of Julio Jones and Jonathan Baldwin, when Thomas Dimitroff, who was then the GM of the Atlanta Falcons. In fact, is he still? I don't even know if he's still with the Falcons. But Dimitroff was running that draft, reached out to Bill and said, should I trade up and get Julio Jones? And Bill said, no, you can get the same player later on in Jonathan Baldwin, and you don't give up all the collateral to move up. Now, Bill was wrong about that, but I think it speaks to what his general philosophy with, and with quarterbacks, I think he might be right. Okay. Again, he took Garoppolo at the end of the second. And I think there's something to be said for a coach's influence on a quarterback that makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, I firmly believe in it. I think some guys are so talented that they're just going to be what they are. You know, Elway was going to be what he was, and Mahomes is going to be what he is. And I think some guys, you know, transcend it. But I think for the majority of quarterbacks, majority, over 50%, maybe over 75%, it's what NFL world are you born into? I mean, you could be, if you're just good but not great and you're born into some crappy system with a horrible coach, you're porked. You're porked. Let's do it, Maz. He said he came up since 2002, only 15 viable guys. Why don't we do this? Why don't we go back to 2000, the year Brady was drafted?
Okay.
Okay, I count, on my list, I have 56 first-round quarterbacks since the year 2000. Okay, I don't know how many you got, but that's... I know you sent me your list. I just sort of compiled my own. But either way, these are quarterbacks taken in the first round since 2000. 56 total names. We'll see how many guys. And here's a criteria. Were they worth the pick? Okay? Simple enough. Were they worth the pick? Three votes. We'll see how many we come up with. You ready? We're going to go backwards starting from 2019. You ready?
Yep. Yep.
Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Daniel Jones.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Dwayne Haskins.
No.
No.
Okay. 2018. Baker Mayfield.
No.
Yes. Yes. You're a yes, Murray?
Yeah.
Okay. Sam Darnold.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Josh Allen.
No.
No. Josh Rosen.
God, no.
Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Yes. 2017, Mitch Trubisky.
No.
No.
Pat Mahomes. Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson. Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
2016, Jared Goff.
No.
Yes.
Yes, Murray.
It's a hard no.
Yes. Carson Wentz.
No.
Yes.
Yes. No on Wentz, Murray?
He's made out of glass. He sucks. Make it through a whole season.
Hold on. Those are two different things. Made out of glass, yes, perhaps.
And he's not that, and he's not that good either.
Does he suck?
Yeah, he does.
Murray, does he suck?
Yeah.
Okay. You lose. Maz and I are a yes. Paxton Lynch.
No.
That was a whiff by the Don there. Okay, 2015, Jameis Winston.
No.
No.
Marcus Mariota.
No.
No.
2014, Blake Bortles.
No.
Johnny Manziel.
No.
32nd pick in the first round, last pick of the first round in 2014, Teddy Bridgewater.
No.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not yet. It's just he hasn't done it.
Okay.
I mean, he hasn't done it for any length of time.
I'd vote yes, but I'm out. 2013 now, E.J. Manuel.
No. No.
Nice pick, Buffalo. 2012, Andrew Luck.
Yes.
Yes.
Robert Griffin.
No.
No.
Ryan Tannehill.
No.
Ryan Tannehill?
No. Well,
you could have got him in the fourth or fifth round. He had one. He caught lightning in a bottle last year. He blows.
Okay. So now we start to get into some names that you forget about, but they're just so delicious. 22nd overall in 2012, first round pick to the Cleveland Browns, Brandon Whedon.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I mean, I forgot. I mean, like, I had to say, like, who? Brandon Whedon.
No, and he was like 50 when he came out of college too.
Okay, now 2011, Cam Newton.
Yes.
Jake Locker.
No.
Jake Locker, 8 overall to Tennessee.
I liked him when he was at Washington too. I thought he was going
to
be good.
Number 10 overall, 2 picks later to Jacksonville, Blaine Gabbert.
No.
2 picks later, number 12 overall to Minnesota, Christian Ponder.
Nope.
No.
How's
his
that?
His wife's had a better career than he has.
How's this? In 2011, picks number 8, 10, and 12, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder. Woof. 2010, number 1 overall pick, Sam Bradford.
No.
No, thank you. Number 25 overall, Tim Tebow.
No.
Yes. 2009, I lose. 2009, number 1 overall pick, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, but you're reluctant, right?
Yeah.
Number 5 overall that year, Mark Sanchez.
No.
No.
Number 17 overall that year to Tampa Bay, Josh Freeman. Anyone remember?
I do. I liked him, but no.
No.
No. 2008 now, Matt Ryan, number 1.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fine. Number 18 overall. Here's a tough one. Number 18 overall that year to the Baltimore Ravens, Joe Flacco.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We're up to 14. 2007, number 1 overall pick, Jamarcus Russell to the Raiders.
No.
God, no.
Number 22 overall to Cleveland, Brady Quinn.
No.
Nope.
Woof. 2006, number 3 overall, Vince Young to Tennessee.
Nope.
No.
Number 10 overall, Matt Leinart.
No.
No.
Number 11 overall,
no.
Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler?
No.
No.
No. Now to 2005, Alex Smith, number 1 overall.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yes.
Then say yes to Jay Cutler.
Yes. No, Alex Smith is better player than Jay Cutler.
Alex
Smith is better player.
Alex Smith won. He won. Cutler lost everywhere he went.
What did he win?
I mean, he won generally. He won. He's got a winning percentage of like 650 or something.
Alex Smith has a brain. Alex Smith is.
Jay Cutler made an NFC championship.
So look, hold on. If you change the criteria and say, is he worth being the number 1 overall pick? That's different than saying, is he worth a first round grade? Alex Smith is, to me. Yes. Good job, Maz. Aaron Rodgers, 24 overall, yes.
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 Jason Campbell, 25 overall to Washington.
No. No.
Okay, 2004, Eli Manning.
Yes. Yes.
Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes.
Yes.
J.P. Lossman, number 22 to Buffalo.
No.
In 2003, Carson Palmer, number 1 overall.
Yes, but close.
Yes. Byron Leftwich, 7 overall to Jacksonville.
No.
Not going to make it. Kyle Bowler, number 19 to Baltimore.
No.
No.
Rex Grossman, 22 to Chicago.
No.
No.
Okay, here comes a group. 2002, first overall, David Carr to Houston Texans.
No. God, no.
Number 3 overall, Joey Harrington to the Lions.
Another no. Oregon stiff. No.
Number 32 overall, Patrick Ramsey to Washington.
No.
No.
2001, number 1 overall, Michael Vick to the Falcons.
Yes. Yes.
Fine. 21. So, since 2000, 21. No, so Lombardi had 15. If he only had 15 since 02, so we're taking out Vick, and that's it. So he's a tough grader. I'm sorry. If he only had 15, I don't know what adjective. Did he say viable or real? I'm not sure what kind of I can't remember what he said. Good players. There's more than 15, Mike. I think he's being a little hard there, Maz.
Yeah, so when I did it, I came out closer to 17. I mean, there were a couple of, you know. But if you do 17, and I went by his number initially of 52 because I didn't include 2019 like he did. It's 1 out of 3. 17 out of 52 is basically just under 33%. And so I look at that number and say, man. And again, a lot of those that you go back and you say, well, some of those guys were just number one picks. And, you know, you're going to hit on some of those anyway. But I just think that there is risk there on quarterbacks. And the coaching variable on quarterback is a huge one to factor in. And so now if it's Bill Belichick and he's picking in the top three, I like his chances better than 1 and 3. But a lot of these other guys, I think it's – if you're not getting one of those real cream-of-the-crop guys at the top of the round, I think you're better off waiting until the end of the second, the third, and taking your guy there.
So I'm a hard no on drafting a quarterback in the first round. I mean, and again, it's all retrospective, meaning if Bill really likes the guy, then, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do. And I'm not, you know, the whole point of letting Brady go and keeping Bill Belichick is to let him run the show. So, but to me, Maz, the whole point of having Bill Belichick, the whole benefit of having Bill Belichick is you don't have to reach for a quarterback because you need one and you're sitting there with the first round pick. And that's, you know, the vast majority of the misses that we hit on, you know, the guys that just, you know, how many bums has Cleveland drafted because they don't have a quarterback, they're horny for a quarterback, they're desperate for a quarterback, they're sitting there somewhere in the first round, and there's one available, and they've got a first-round pick, so they make the pick. And it's like they have to because they have no coach, they have no program, they've got to hope they hit on one of these quarterbacks. But when you have the coach, you don't need to do that. You don't need to waste it there or reach there. You find that guy in the second, third round, and you have your coach him up. And I think, and this is, you know, it's going to sound weird, but I think that's one of the few positions that you really can coach up versus others. Like, I don't know, at receiver, maybe this is part of Bill's problem. At receiver, you got to have a guy that has certain measurables because you can't coach speed and you can't coach athleticism. But the quarterback position is a mental position. It's a disciplined position. It's a position where you're coached. So that's one where I want Bill going lower and coaching the guy up. That's the whole point of having Bill Belichick, Maz.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. It is. It's an aptitude position, right? And it's an experience position. It's also being able to sort of – it's a preparation position so that you need to be able to look and survey a defense and say, okay, what are they lined up in or what are they trying to hide? Who are they taking away and where am I going with the ball? I think that one thing we learned with Brady, particularly earlier in his career – is that he was able to know where he was going with the ball before the snap, like a lot of the great ones are. I think that can be taught. I do. Now, but I also, you know, I do think there's a little bit of a flaw in there because I would like to think that Bill would be smart enough that if he had John Elway at the top of the draft to say, okay, I'm going to take John Elway or Peyton Manning and right. I'm not going to take him at the end of the second round. But so because, as you said, there are those real exceptions to the rule. But given where they typically pick in the draft, which is end of the first round, I'm not reaching for a quarterback there. I think your quarterback there is typically inherently flawed.
Okay. Yet they've been linked to Jordan Love. They've been linked to Justin Herbert. I think Bill's talked to the guy. I think Bill's talked to the lad already. When we come back, speaking of Belichick, speaking of Brady, Belichick was asked directly about Brady's departure today. And what Brady has said since, you will hear that sound when we come back. It is Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings. It is a reentry Monday, and that's brought to you, Maz, by East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep, maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage, commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit ebsb.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
This being our first time talking to you since the end of the season, and in particular since Tom left, I know you wanted to leave it at the statement, but I'm just curious if you guys had a desire to bring Tom back the coming season.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of water under the bridge, Mike. And like I said, we're really focused on this season and trying to look at our opportunities and make decisions and plan and prepare to be as competitive as we can be this year. So that's really what our focus is on.
It didn't surprise you at all, him leaving?
Again, I think we've covered all that.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Did he cover the surprise part? I don't think he did. I think he's covered the part about being surprised. You think Belichick was surprised Brady left?
Yeah, I would say a little, yes. Yeah, I think that they thought Brady was going to buckle, and they were, as a result, caught a little off guard when he told them to go pound sand.
Yep. Absolutely, I think he was surprised. I do think he was surprised. I think when Robert got that call on that Tuesday night, Robert thought, and Robert said it. He thought Brady was coming over to go back door and get the deal done and return to the Patriots. So, I would not be surprised at all if Robert even communicated that to Bill. Hey, Bill, guess who just called? Guess who's coming over? And they thought, oh, here we go again. Yeah, Brady's going to cave. So I do think they were surprised. Not out of nowhere, completely 1,000% surprised? No, but I bet if they were betting, they thought Brady was going to cave. And Giardi did, reference an opening statement there. Bill was talking about both the written statement that they put out the day Brady left and also the very opening to the conference call where Bill did say this as well.
At the start of free agency, I made a statement about Tom. It would be, of course, impossible to sum up everything Tom did in 20 years into a comment then or now. But I meant everything I said about him, and I'm sure we'll be talking about him for years and decades to come. Right now, we're moving forward.
Okay, so that was that. To me, the good stuff's going to come off the record. I don't feel like Bill has really fired back yet. And not that Brady fired at him. Certainly with Howard Stern last week, he didn't. But I think, his camp and sort of what's been reported and written comes from his side, and they've taken their shots on Bill. I mean, good God, you keep listening to Stephen A. Smith, the whole reason, and others, the whole reason Brady left is because Bill was mean to him. And so, I still haven't heard the full response from Belichick, but I'm sure it's going to come in some way, shape, or form. I'm looking forward to it, Maz.
Well, I bet it comes out during the season, and you can guarantee it'll come out if Brady has any sort of difficulty in Tampa. So, look, I don't want to tell you that I am surprised that Bill approached it today the way he did, but I'd also like to think that with Tom Brady, even though you issued a written statement, that you'd engage on the topic at least a little. I knew he wouldn't, okay? So I'm not telling you that I thought he was going to. But it would have been nice to be pleasantly surprised and actually hear him engage on the topic.
Okay, but we didn't get it, but that's what we got. So we'll play more of the Belichick sound coming up, I promise. You're all lined up. It's been a while since we've taken a call. The Patriots in the quarterback position at this year's draft, linked to Herbert, linked to Love. Do you even want them doing that in the first round. Do you think they're going to do that in the first round? The plan there, we opened up with the coronavirus stuff. If you're still waiting to chime in on that, you can chime in on that if you want. Right to you after Murray's 90-second update, no commercial.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.